one of the best things in their culture is the appreciation for detail, for beautiful detail specifically. So to respect yourself and your environment enough to make it the best it can be, you know, the Kaizen idea. Because the mistake that many people make on their spiritual journey is neglecting their physical part. They think, oh yeah, it doesn't matter. I will just focus on becoming so spiritual that I just will stop seeing the physical reality altogether. But the truth is, we are not just the spiritual beings either. We are a mix, a unity of both. And so one of the most important things on your spiritual journey specifically is to look after your body, is to keep your body strong, fit, and healthy, and keep your environment as clean and beautiful as possible. Because in spiritual terms, our environment is an extension of us.
Stay connected to gratitude. Hit the follow button right now and join thousands of listeners tuning in each week. We're the Gratitude Seekers. Come join us. Hi, Gratitude Seeker, welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Our guest from today is an author, entrepreneur, international speaker, and spiritual mentor. I've experienced the beauty of the meditations that she is creating, and what I can say is that they're on a different level, and I really enjoy them. So without further ado, J.H. Tapley, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Hello there. Thank you for inviting me today.
My pleasure. So let us know a little bit more about you, about the work that you're doing. I wanted to keep this short so that the people that are listening right now to us would get to know you better from you, and so that they can feel your energy and what you are here to do right now.
Of course. So I'm a spiritual mentor. I'm a solo purpose mentor for male entrepreneurs. I've been doing my work for about 25 years now. And I've been teaching students all around the world about how to step into their true, powerful core, really feel like they matter in this world as human beings, as men, and as business owners, how to create a real legacy and the ripple effect in the world by what you're doing, and feel really fulfilled and feel like your presence is uplifting other people.
Wonderful. I love how impactful the way you explain this is, in the sense that you can feel the depth of the things that you're saying, and it's one of the reasons why I wanted you to let us know more about your work, and because it's the way you do it, not as much as the words themselves that matters. And I think this is something that is quite relevant for many of us, isn't it?
Well, I definitely hope so. I'm also the author of many books. You can see one of my books up here. It's called The Superhero's Journey, which explains my whole concept of hero or a superhero that is sleeping within the heart of every man. And he's waiting to wake up and take on the world. And this book explains how to get there.
Perfect. So for the women listening, stay with us. I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation for you as well, because, of course, you all have men in your life, and I believe that we will find some interesting things on how they work and how they can work better and how you can support them in reaching your goals, reaching your partnership goals. And yeah, I think it's going to be a really fun and interesting conversation. So let's get back a little bit to gratitude. I'm really curious, what is your definition of gratitude?
To me, gratitude is really linked with mindfulness, which is one of the things that I teach. Because to be grateful and to be mindful, it's almost the same thing. As soon as you step into your life fully, as soon as you're fully present, you start to appreciate the wonders and the miracles that you have in your life right now. And the reason why so many people feel unhappy, no matter what they have, is that they have simply lost their capacity to see it or perceive it. And there is one quote that I really like about gratitude that comes from Epicurus, which says, "Do not spoil what you have by desiring what you have not. Remember that what you have now was once amongst the things that you only hoped for." And I think this is really deep, because to me, what he's trying to say is not don't try and achieve something more that you have right now, but he's highlighting the fact that if you are not happy with what you have right now, what makes you feel that you're going to be happy with more?
Wow, I love it. And the interesting part is, I don't know if I've heard this before. It's possible, but the interesting thing is that in my interviews and in my experience, and one of the things that I love to talk about is this idea that what we are doing right now, where we are right now, is actually something that we wished for and we could only dream of a few years ago.
Yeah.
And maybe longer or closer to our day right now. But the beautiful part is that it's actually something that at one point was an idea, it was a dream, it was something that we could only dream about, we could only think that it could happen for us. And we tend to be to become unaware of the fact that this is actually happening. And I think that's such an interesting thing of how we work and how we are actually, most of us, living lives that are much better than we realize. I think this is fascinating.
Absolutely. Yeah, many people, without mindfulness, many people tend to take their life for granted. And if you do that, you're actually unable to feel truly and deeply grateful for it.
Definitely, definitely. I love this part. And we tend to think that, exactly as you said, we will have more those things that we will have in the future will get us to feel the way that we think we want, or we feel that
yes,
is missing right now. And the beautiful part about me being mindful is seeing that it's already amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really, really resonate with that as well.
Yeah. So I think this is extremely powerful for men, especially in the sense that men tend to be conquerors. They want to conquer more. They want to build empires. They want to,
yes,
do a lot of things of this nature. And of course, you can't be satisfied with just a little when you want to conquer more and you want to expand. How can we find that balance between wanting to conquer, to expand, to be more, but also to be grateful?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. I love it. So I would say, look at this from a practical standpoint. And this is this. If you came across the concept of manifestation and you know anything about manifestation, like the secret, then the rule, or one of the rules of manifestation, is that you cannot manifest the life that you desire if you are fiercely unhappy with the life that you have right now. And every textbook, every guide on manifestation will tell you this. To create something big, you first have to be happy with something small. And so if you keep this in mind, it's going to make it a lot easier to stay grounded and mindful about feeling gratitude now, because you are working for a bigger picture. You are actually investing in your energetical future. So what I mean by that, imagine that your circumstances right now are like a seedling of a tree that you want to grow. And so for that big tree to grow, you obviously need to look after that seedling and water it. And yes, it's only small for now, but you know what you're working towards. So the attitude that you need is gratitude for the tools that you have right now to be able to work towards your goal. And so although the final goal is not there yet, it has not yet manifested, be grateful for the smallest things that you are given to be able to get there. For example, consider, and really consider, not just on the mental level, but ponder just how much better your life and the probability of you achieving your goal are because you're healthy. So if you have a healthy body and a healthy mind, that is a massive asset to have on your journey. So that's one thing. And if you really focus on it mindfully and you compare the possibility of not having that and still wanting to work towards your goal, then you feel that gratitude that, oh, this is so good. Now, next, think about it this way. Having simple things, everyday things that we take for granted, like our laptops or our mobile phones. 50 years ago, people didn't have that. It was so much harder for them to build a business than it is for us right now. So again, compare your possible lifetime when you didn't have those things with the current lifetime, and you will see just how much better off you are. Again, internet, AI, all those tools that people didn't have up until now, and you have at your fingertips. You can become a millionaire in a few months' time if you wish so. So when you really truly consider the possibilities that you are blessed with, then you think, wow, this is so super cool. Now, this feeling is your seedling. That is the feeling you need to focus on and grow if you really want to manifest that huge, amazing, successful life that your soul really feels that is your birthright. So that life is already there for you. And all you need is that seedling of gratitude that you grow day after day until it grows big and links your current reality with that reality you desire.
Wow, I love it. I think it's so wonderful to use these kinds of metaphors from nature, because we see them and we can definitely resonate with them. And I was also thinking about how we get to have fruit, for instance. I think that's a really interesting in the perspective, in the sense that even with fruit, it actually is not something really simple as a journey. Like, it's not linear. For instance, you get the leaves first, afterwards get the flowers fall, and afterwards the fruit is formed. But at some point, it seems like it's all lost.
Well, you know? Yes.
And I think this is a beautiful metaphor as well for many of our listeners. I'm sure that they can resonate with this, that in this journey, we have moments in which we feel that everything is lost, like the beautiful smell, you know, like the flower has the beauty of the flower itself. And it's just before the fruit gets formed, it gets created, and afterwards, of course, it grows beautifully. And I think this is,
absolutely,
yeah, this is also a really interesting metaphor. And yeah, I think for the people that are in that situation right now, in which they might actually be in that moment when they might feel that, okay, the beautiful fragrance is gone, the beauty is gone, but actually there could be something beautiful that's going to come, that's even better than what was. I think that's a really wonderful perspective. What's your take on this?
Absolutely. And I think this is really important, not just to know as a concept, but to make a baseline of how your mind operates. And the easiest way to get there is to think of all those times, honestly, when you thought that the universe was really nasty to you because it denied you something. Let's say an opportunity that you really wanted, or being with a person you really wanted, or any desire that you had that seemingly was denied to you. And you thought it was awful at the time, but very shortly after, or maybe a few months, or even a couple of years after, you realized that that was probably one of the best things that happened to you. And looking back, you're so grateful that it didn't happen, because it would have been awful. So the universe had that, it has this innate intelligence that is greater than any human intelligence. Now, if you look back at all those times when it happened, when you thought you were denied something good, but in fact you were redirected to something a lot better. Now, when something is happening currently in your life that is following the same pattern, what makes you think that this time is going to be any different? So rather than waiting months and years to appreciate this event and to really understand the blessing that it has in disguise, why not just appreciate it now? Why not just cut the time short? And instead of wasting it on feeling unhappy and angry and resentful, feeling grateful for that thing already, because you know that it's the same pattern that happened so many times in the past when you were seemingly denied something, just to be redirected to something that is much, much better. So feel grateful now.
I love this. I love this. And I just think it's so beautiful knowing that you have this perspective of being a spiritual being, having a physical existence. It's such a larger perspective when you think about it. It's not just about the experiences that we have day by day that are that could be mundane, or could be just about the physical part, but the bigger picture. So what do you feel is the purpose of our higher self, of our soul in this existence? Of course, I know it's specific to each human being, but in general, like, what do you feel that we are here to do physically, being a spiritual being?
Oh, that's a beautiful question as well. So our purpose as human beings, all of us, is to become the greatest version of us that we can be. And this is the goal of every physical life or every physical incarnation that we have. And yet again, thinking of plants and how it works in nature, we can see it very clearly. Because if you look at an acorn, for example, well, you know what its purpose is, technically. So if you plant it, then its purpose is to grow and hopefully one day become a tree, like the most beautiful oak than it can possibly be. But even if we look at the animal kingdom or the birds and we think, well, you know, what is the purpose of this little kitten? Well, to grow into the best version of its species that it can possibly be. Or a little eaglet, what is its purpose? Well, its purpose is to become the greatest eagle than it can possibly be. So because we are part of nature, the same rule applies to us. And there is nothing mysterious or unknowable about our purpose. It's simply about becoming the greatest version than you can possibly be as a man or a woman. Except in our case, it's slightly more complicated because, just as you said, we're not just physical beings. So it's not as straightforward and simplistic. We also have this bigger divine spiritual part of us. So the true goal of our journey is to integrate all levels of our being. And this is how we become our full selves. So you can't become a true self or the best version of you if you only work on the physical level. And this is why people who prioritize their physical development, let's say they have a chiseled body, or they have lots of money, all the yachts they can possibly buy, but look at their eyes, you will notice that they actually feel like imposters. They feel unsure about themselves deep down in their heart. And it shows. It shows in their smile. It shows in their eyes. And the reason for that is because if we only focus on one part of our being, we will always feel like we are not good enough. And it's just what it is, because part of us, the spiritual part of us, if we neglect it, we can feel that we are not fully whole. And if you're not fully yourself, then yes, of course, you feel like you're not good enough, and it's normal, it's natural. So what that feeling tells you, if you're feeling as like an imposter, if you're feeling deep down insecurity and anxiety, it's not because you're lacking something as a human being, but what it means that is just not all parts of your being are integrated. So the goal of our human existence here is to find, awaken, and integrate the spiritual part so you can function as designed, or as God intended, or as universe intended. In other words, you function as you were meant to, and suddenly life becomes effortless, and suddenly things and circumstances and events and people start coming your way because you are an example of the wholeness and of the presence that they seek and they inspired by. And just from there, it's a completely different experience of life altogether. And once you're there, yes, of course, you can express your gifts, you can express your talents and your passions in the way that is uniquely right for you and uniquely tailored to who you are as a person. But the first part of your journey of integrating the physical and the mundane and the divine aspect of our existence, this is common for all human beings.
Wonderful. I think it makes a lot of sense to just, when you just think about it, you just know it's true, you know, like it's those kinds of things that when you hear the idea, the concept, you know it's true, you know that you are here to become the best version of yourself. And I love the parallel with nature, and it makes so much sense when you think about it, because when we look at something that's external from ourselves, we can see it in a more detached way. You know, it's like, yes, of course, that acorn is meant to be the biggest and most beautiful oak tree that's possible. You know, of course, it's,
yes,
makes a lot of sense. It's harder sometimes for us to see that within ourselves, but that's the challenging part where you just mentioned that it gets a bit more complicated. And in this sense, I wanted to ask you, okay, so on the physical plane, measuring success, measuring where we are in the world is somehow simple. Like, okay, how much money I have in my bank account, how many things I have, But how do we measure where we are spiritually?
It's actually pretty straightforward as well, because if you're doing things right, this very specific feeling appears and it fills up your heart and your mind, and it's a feeling of peace. And it's not something forced. It's not when you're trying to suppress your thoughts or your emotions, or you're trying to push your anxiety away. But it's a feeling of deeply felt joy, peace, and confidence. And the more you align with your true self, the more those feelings increase until they fill up your mind. And so there is no room for anything else. There is no room for anxiety. There is no room for anger. And not because you are struggling to get rid of it and going to therapies, but simply because it's no longer relevant to you. And I think one of the ways we can really feel gratitude for where we are currently is seeing ourselves as those little seedlings of something absolutely wonderful. So think of yourself as the rarest plant in the world. And yes, you're just a seedling, but because you're the rarest plant in the world, even the smallest seed is already really valuable. And the more you invest in yourself, the more you grow spiritually, and obviously physically as well, the more you develop your body, develop your finances, develop your influence in the world in a good way, the more your value increases because you can serve more as a human being. And the more that feeling of peace and just serenity arises within you, and then you feel the undercurrent of gratitude in your life always. So you don't need to meditate on it or focus on it specifically because it's already there. So just as looking at increasing zeros in your bank account tells you that you're becoming more financially successful, increasing levels of inner serenity and joy, which are not forced, but they just naturally there, tell you that you are doing things in the right way.
I love this so much. I think it's so easy for us all to think about it and to think of where we are, how much time we spending in those kinds of states. And yeah, of course, we can think of ways in which we can increase the time we spend in those kinds of beautiful states that you just mentioned. And of course, one of the things I was thinking about that can help us do that is meditation, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Because it's a moment, and it's very counterintuitive for us humans, especially nowadays. Like, okay, so I'm supposed to just sit here and do nothing? Like, there are so many things that need to get done, and I need to get them done. Nobody will do them if I'm not doing them. How can I just sit there and do nothing?
Right. Yeah. Well, there is a beautiful saying that I really like: meditate every day for 20 minutes. Unless you are very busy, then meditate for an hour.
Brilliant.
And it's very true, because most people have a very vague idea of what meditation is. Meditation is not sitting there doing nothing. Meditation is like a workout for the mind. So just as you want to work out or go to the gym to keep your body healthy and fit, you want to do meditation to keep your mind fit, because your body listens to everything your mind says. And so if your mind is out of order, of course your whole life and your body and your health are going to reflect that. So it all starts in the mind. You can manifest the life you desire and even the health you want by putting your mental settings right. And this is exactly what meditation allows you to do. So while meditating properly, you're not doing nothing. You're actually really busy. You're super busy because there are so many things to do. And one of the ways that I teach my students to meditate is to reconnect those four levels of the mind. You know, the physical, the emotional or the soul level, the conscious or the ego level, and the superconscious or the higher self, the God state level. Because the way we are meant to function smoothly is to have all those four levels integrated, functioning as one unit. And the reason why so many people aren't happy in their lives is because their mind is not functioning as designed. So it's like having a car that different parts are not connected to other parts. And of course, it's not really going anywhere, or it's terrible to drive. And so this is what many people's minds are like. Now, in meditation, what you do, you become your own mechanic of the mind. So you go, you see what connections are broken, you reconnect them, you reintegrate them, and you are actually growing yourself internally into a different person. You're upgrading your mental software. And with that, your actual brain is changing. Because, you know, if you start thinking and feeling in a different way, thanks to neuroplasticity, your brain changes its structure. And if your brain changes, and if the way you think and feel change, then the chemicals in your blood change as well, meaning you function differently, you have more energy, you start making different kind of decisions, better decisions for your life and for your relationships. And this is all done in meditation. So don't waste your meditation time just doing nothing. Do a lot of things that are very relevant in your life, and have meditation goals just like you have your fitness goals. Tell yourself what you want to achieve. Set clear, concrete, achievable goals and just work towards them. Now, one more thing I want to mention in that regard, because unfortunately in the West, meditation is mostly not taught properly. And because of that, most people don't achieve great results with it. Because just with a workout, just like with a workout, when you warm up beforehand, you need to warm up before doing meditation, not physically, but mentally. Specifically, you need to put your brain into a different gear. Our brain operates on different frequencies. And so usually during our waking hours, we are in the beta range. So it's a 7 to 14 hertz. And this frequency is too fast to meditate. If you try to meditate in beta, and by the way, I understand that not everyone is a neuroscientist. So beta is simply the speed of your mind, or the speed of your brain rather, that is used to read, think, listen, talk, plan ahead. In other words, to do all those things that you do every day. So all of that is your beta range. But this range is way too fast for meditation purposes. So to achieve great results, or any kind of real results with your meditation, you need to slow your brain waves down. And luckily, we can do it at will. You can tell your brain to slow down. And this is what you do. You relax your body in a certain way. You need your body fully and completely relaxed. And by the way, not everyone knows how to do it. So if you don't, you can just reach out to me on Instagram, for example, and I can send it. It's a free meditation warm-up training that I have for my students. So you warm up by relaxing your body completely. And from that point, when your brain is in the alpha frequencies, this is where you meditate powerfully and where you can really see changes and results from your meditation.
I love that. And I actually had that experience, and it's much more powerful when we actually get into that state, and when we get to relax our body and get into a really beautiful state where we can actually enjoy the benefits of meditation. Yeah, definitely. So I also wanted to get into something else that we talked about in the beginning that I mentioned. We talk with a lot of men you work with a lot of men, and I'm really curious on what are some of the things that they are expecting or that they would appreciate from their partners, so that they will be more supported in the direction of their soul.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes. Well, for many men, it's quite hard to strive towards the unknown. And mind you, you don't need to be a man for that. As a human being, it's very challenging to put everything you have and strive towards something that is not even promised. So take this massive risk, leap ahead, hoping that you would succeed, but really you don't know, right? So both with your purpose and with your business, with any achievement that you are working towards, you don't really know. So it's a big unknown. It's a massive step outside of your comfort zone. And of course, a lot of stress. So what many men would appreciate from their partners is simply kindness and understanding. Because sometimes there is this dynamic in relationships where, let's say, a man wants to achieve something great, not just for himself, but for his relationship or his whole family. And of course, that requires certain sacrifices because, say, he has to work longer or harder and he's tired. He's maybe not as attentive for a period of time simply because he doesn't have the energy to do so, not because he loves his partner any less. But sometimes women take it in the wrong way. They think, oh, he's not interested in me anymore because he's working so hard. He's never at home. He comes back late. He's tired. Well, clearly, passion is no longer there. But the truth is, the passion is there. And this is the actual reason why your partner is working so hard, because he wants the best things for you. And he understands that to achieve those things, he needs to put some effort in. And because we only have so much energy and so much time during a day, then, of course, if he prioritizes his success and he wants to get there faster, and then for a period of time, he may seem almost emotionally unavailable because he's exhausted. So instead of holding that against him and attacking him almost for that, the best strategy would be to say, hey, I understand you're working on something important for both of us. What can I do to make you feel better? What can I do to support you right now when you're so stressed? And your partner is going to be so grateful for this.
Wow. I love this, and I think it's such a deep and emotional thing that we might not think about all of the time, but if we think about it, it rings true. We know that in many situations, relationships may suffer one way or another because we don't actually understand why the other one is doing the things that he is doing. And when we do get to understand and we do have this type of appreciation and we realize what's actually there, even though men usually have a bit of an issue with actually communicating that directly, because
yes,
many of us communicate with just action, and
exactly
that should speak by itself, but we fail to actually say, okay, this is, I'm doing this for us, and communicate things of this nature. And I think it's a wonderful perspective that I think it can be very helpful for many of the women listening to know that even though your man isn't communicating exactly in these words, most probably the actions that he is doing are actually in the direction of love and of caring and doing the best for you and for your family. And yeah, I think this brings a
Absolutely.
lot of gratitude in your hearts.
Absolutely. It's just worth remembering that men and women in general have different languages of love. And when women prefer to talk and to listen, men believe that actions speak louder than words, that words are fluff. Like, who cares? You know, I can say whatever. So it doesn't really matter. And they want to show their true passion and their true commitment to you by presenting you with something big. And many of them, actually, they may not tell you, but many of them secretly fantasize how one day they will say, "Darling, pack your things. We are going to the Maldives. I booked a 5-star hotel, all included for us. Just I've booked the tickets already. Let's pack and go." And they fantasize about this moment of you being so happy. So instead of complaining and nagging and saying, "Oh yeah, you're never at home, you never look at me, you have always seem tired, and you know, do you even love me anymore?" Instead, just try to learn a little bit of his language. It's just how he speaks. It's like being with a person who is from a different country, for example, and they speak their own language. And it's just what it is. So instead of complaining that he doesn't understand you, it's easier actually for women to be more versatile, because men tend to be really focused and sometimes even narrow-minded, whereas women have this superpower that it's easier for them to see a bigger picture, to see how things are interconnected, and to see things from different perspectives. So instead of complaining that your partner doesn't understand you, just think of him as someone who comes from a different country and try to learn a little bit of his language and try to communicate back to him using that language and see how your relationship becomes so much happier and so much stronger for it.
Wow, this is wonderful. And yeah, it makes a lot of sense to think about things in this way, to just realize that it just might be a problem of communication, of speaking each other's language. And I think this just brings more appreciation for one another and understanding where each other come from. And yeah, and by the way, I wanted to get into this since you mentioned a different country. I know that you spent some time in Japan, right?
That's right, yes.
And I'm really curious about some of the things that you've learned there. I'm always fascinated to have my guests talk about this, about their experiences in other countries where they lived, and in their culture, especially, of course, ideally from a gratitude standpoint.
Well, I love lots of things about Japan, but then I'm biased because I lived in Japan in my previous lifetimes as well. And so, of course, I still felt this deep affinity in my heart to the place that once was my homeland, as one would. And in terms of learning in general, I would say one of the best things in their culture is the appreciation for detail, for beautiful detail specifically. So to respect yourself and your environment enough to make it the best it can be, you know, the Kaizen idea. Because the mistake that many people make on their spiritual journey is neglecting their physical part. They think, "Oh yeah, it doesn't matter. I will just focus on becoming so spiritual that I just will stop seeing the physical reality altogether." But the truth is, we are not just the spiritual beings either. We are a mix, a unity of both. And so one of the most important things on your spiritual journey specifically is to look after your body, is to keep your body strong, fit, and healthy, and keep your environment as clean and beautiful as possible. Because in spiritual terms, our environment is an extension of us. So it's actually a very interesting concept that I think may be new for most people, because they see themselves as an independent entity, like a separate entity from the universe, but it's not true. So we are all immersed in the quantum soup of existence. Everything is energetically interconnected. And some things that are close to us influence our energy and our state of mind directly. And so, for example, it's a lot easier to feel gratitude if you come back to a beautiful, peaceful, clean, harmonious home that you've created, that you know that no matter what happened outside, maybe the boss wasn't happy with you, maybe something else happened that stressed you out, but you're going home knowing that your home is a spiritual sanctuary. And I'm not talking about necessarily putting some spiritual signs or altars in there. I'm talking about making it so beautiful and so harmonious that every time you open the door and you look at your home, you think, wow, I love this place. I feel so happy and at peace. And this alone gives you an automatic boost of gratitude every day.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And yeah, we interact with the world a lot with our eyes, with the things that we see. And when we see harmony outside of us, we tend to feel that harmony inside of us as well. So yeah, I think it's a wonderful idea. And I didn't think it would get us here, this idea about Japan, but I'm really happy that it did. And it's really wonderful. So
simplicity.
Yeah, definitely.
Because what happens in many people's lives, their houses reflect their state of mind and their state of life. And so if they feel unhappy, depressed, they feel like they're in a messy place, their house or their home becomes a messy place as well. And the problem with that, apart from obviously clutter being unhealthy from the hygienic point of view, the energy of that clutter, of that mess, actually radiates back and it's absorbed by your mind, because your mind is not your brain. Your mind is an energy structure that permeates your entire body. And so I'll actually give you an example of how it works. It's beautiful and it's almost like magic. So our mind absorbs all the energy that is around us. It's just how it functions. You can actually control it if you learn how to do it. But the default state for most people is that you automatically absorb everything that is around you. So what energy is around you, your mind starts functioning in the same frequency. Here is an example. Imagine that you are in a neutral state of mind. Not happy, not unhappy, just normal. And then you enter a room and suddenly you just feel irked. You feel annoyed for no particular reason. And then you discover that just 10 minutes ago, someone had a huge argument in that room. And it just feels off. So you enter and you just, like, you suddenly feel annoyed, as you can't even explain. And the reason why that happened was because your mind has unconsciously absorbed all that angry energy that was still hanging in that room and started functioning using that energy and feeling the way that that energy was telling it to feel. Now, think of a different example where you were actually in a bad state of mind, say unhappy or anxious or a bit depressed, and then a friend of yours somehow managed to talk you into going out together or going to a party together. And you didn't really feel like doing it, but you went anyway because your friend insisted. And once there, because the atmosphere was so amazing, the people were so great, and it was just so fantastic, the feeling of it, the energy of it, that your bad mood just evaporated, just disappeared. You didn't do anything. You didn't strive to make yourself feel better. It was just wiped out and replaced with this amazing feeling. So we are energy beings on many levels. And what happens is that whenever we are exposed to a certain type of energy, our mind not just absorbs it, but it starts acting on it. And so if your house is full of clutter, your mind absorbs that clutter and then reflects it back into your life and into your decisions and into your actions, the way you feel about yourself and the world. Now, if you make your home simplistic, clean, and beautiful, just relaxing to be in, that energy alone, even with your eyes closed, even when you're asleep, especially when you're asleep, your mind absorbs that energy and suddenly you feel peaceful, you feel grateful, making no effort to achieve that at all. So this is the power of your environment.
Wow. I just think it's amazing what you just shared with us in this beautiful perspective and how the things around us actually influence us more than we realize. And just the fact that we can create the kind of environment that supports our goals and where we want to get and to where we want to be in life, it's an important thing. And I was actually thinking about the contrast. So for instance, usually when you think about a teenager's room, you know, like it's a lot of clutter, there are a lot of things thrown
and
everywhere.
What does their mind show?
Exactly. So I think this is this is a really good example. I can contrast with that simplicity and that harmony and that peaceful feeling that you have when you're in a harmonious, simple room. So yeah, I love that. So we are nearing the end of our time together, and I wanted to ask you, where can our audience get in touch with you, find out more about you, about your work? You mentioned Instagram, but I'm guessing there are more places.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm New Era Superhero on all social media, but I really encourage you to reach out to me on Instagram and just drop the word gratitude if you want to get either the copy of my recent book, which is The Superhero's Journey, or you want the meditation warm-up that you mentioned, because it's such a powerful tool. It allows you to achieve massive results from your time investment with meditation. And also, if you are interested in living a purpose truly, and you want to take this first step, but you don't know where that first step is, go to my website, which is neweraSuperhero.com, and you can download your higher purpose audit. It's 35 questions that allow you to get clarity on your path and on what your soul really wants to do in this lifetime. It's super powerful, and you can download it both as an ebook and an audiobook, so you can use it in whichever format you prefer.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being here, for being so present. And for our listeners that are listening on Spotify, we actually both would be really curious to find out what's your number one takeaway from this interview. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Jay, for being here with us and for sharing your wisdom. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Giorgio Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Are you experiencing more lack in your life than you used to? Unfortunately, some things are not in our control, but we can control how we see them. Join me on a 7-week journey from lack to abundance through gratitude. Go to georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse. That's georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse to join me now.